Man, he's so merciful to us, isn't he? Amen. I tell you, I've enjoyed so much studying the subject of worship. Look forward to preaching on that next Sunday morning again. And just being, again, made so much aware, maybe more so than ever in my own life, of just how good God's been to us and how great a God we serve. Well, it's good to have Brother Nick Lepper and his wife sing tonight. That was good. I knew when we came on staff that he could play the piano and sing, but didn't know his wife could sing a lot better than him. But enjoyed that very, very much. Appreciate Brother Nick already and the job he's doing in our school. And just brings with him a lot of experience and areas we really appreciate. And it's just been a real, real blessing. And look forward to serving with him in the future. Also, he's preached once. I enjoyed it the first time. We'll see how it goes. Come on, Brother Lepper, and preach for us.
Pastor, my wife does sing better than me. She does about everything better than me. Don't ever give her a chance to preach, or it'll all be over. She could do it. Well, good evening. I'm happy to be with you tonight. If you would take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, and I do appreciate so much this emphasis today on Heritage Christian Academy. This is a special church. It's a special church family. And, you know, we've been here for just a few weeks now, and we already recognize how special it is. You all have been here a lot longer than we have, and you know how special it is. It's a special school, too. I love what Pastor said this morning. It's a ministry of this church, but it's not the only ministry of this church. This church does a lot of things in this community, and what a blessing that is. I do just want to kind of take the opportunity to plug. If you're not serving in a ministry in this church, please do. Don't just sit and observe. Get involved. Amen. The Lord's doing incredible things here, and we're thankful to be just a small part of it. I was so encouraged this morning by the young people using their talent for the Lord. I was so encouraged just now. I didn't know he was going to play the offertory tonight. Beautiful job. Here I was, grown man, nervous about playing. And this guy gets up here and plays and just busts it out. Great job, man. Great job. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. With the emphasis on Heritage Christian Academy today, I wanted just to share a few things about education with you tonight. And from the Bible, what is Christian education? There's probably some misunderstanding about that term, Christian education, and let's address that a little bit tonight. I'm just praying the Lord will speak to someone's heart and encourage us all to do just a little bit more for Him tonight. Education is important, and Christian education is essential. Let's see what the Bible says about it. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, very familiar verse, verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The title of the sermon tonight is just those first five words, and that from a child. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you'll help us tonight as we look at your word. Please speak to our hearts, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll do something that only you can do. And help us, Lord, to all get involved just a little bit more for you tonight because of these words in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. When we use the term Christian education, we're not talking about attending a Christian school. That may be a part of someone's Christian education, but it's not all of it. I think that's a very common misunderstanding. You could be a student in a public school. You could be a student in a home school. You could be a student in any other school, any other private school, or a Christian school and receive a Christian education. And by the way, you could be in a Christian school and not receive a Christian education. Christian education is not where you are, it's what happens where you are. It's what happens in your heart and in your life. Education in general is just moving from the unknown to the known. It's just learning something. Christian education is moving from the unknown to the known with Christ. Learning who Christ is, learning what He is, learning more of Him, and most importantly, just meeting Him. Being with Him, having fellowship with Him. That's what Christian education is. The term that we, or the phrase that we hear so often is developing the mind of Christ in a student. Developing the mind of Christ. Can you imagine, parents, if your children just had the mind of Christ, how easy your job would be? Teachers, can you imagine if your students had the mind of Christ? This is dangerous. Wives, can you imagine if your husbands just had the minds of Christ and vice versa? How easy our lives would be. Christian education is developing the mind of Christ in a student. Pastor talked so well this morning about what Christians are, what a Christian should be. And that's it. That's the whole goal of Christian education. Yes, we're going to teach other subjects. Yes, we're going to learn other things, and we should. But all throughout, every person that's up in front of that classroom, or every person that's studying with your child or with your student, should always be introducing Christ to them in some way. That's what Christian education is. And what an incredible opportunity each of us have to be involved in someone's Christian education. Just so I know the audience tonight, how many of you are parents of, let's say, school-age students or school-age children? Would you raise your hand? Very good. How many of you are teachers in this room today? Okay. How many of you are pastors in this room today? One of you. Good. A couple of you. Good. And how many of you are anyone else? Raise your hand. All right. If you raise your hand any of those times, you could be and should be involved in someone's Christian education. You don't have to be a teacher or an administrator or a pastor even to be involved in Christian education. All of us should be. And if you still have children at home, what a huge responsibility. What a huge responsibility. And I hope we don't take it for granted. I know some of us do sometimes. What a huge opportunity. The Bible talks about education over and over and over again. He may not use, or it may not use the word education, but the word teach is in the Bible 108 times in the King James Version. The word wisdom is 222 times. The word understanding is 156 times. Over and over and over, the Bible tells us, learn something. Here's some truth. Do something with it. All of us, as we read God's Word, as we spend time in Scripture, should be learning Christ. We should be being educated as we're learning Christ. If God talks about something like that so often, it must be important to Him, right? And if it's important to God, it should be important to us. God talks so often about learning and increasing in learning, increasing in knowledge and in wisdom and in understanding. That's what Christian education is. It's just learning Christ. So you don't have to be a school-age student to learn of Christ, do you? All of us should be learning. I'm so encouraged when I see someone that's older in the ministry or older in their lives, trying to not just say old, someone who's older than me, let's say, who still has a love for God's Word, who still has a love for learning the Bible, learning Christ. It never ends. And if we ever get to the point where it does end, then we start retracting in our Christian lives, don't we? Because we should always be advancing, always be learning more about Him. We're going to talk tonight about three specific points as far as Christian education goes. Three specific things. And I'll just try my best to share with you from God's Word what He says about Christian education. Number one, the first main point is the individual roles. The individual roles. If you would, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. We're talking about the individual roles, and that's R-O-L-E-S, in Christian education. Individual roles. Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we'll start in verse number 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your head, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Who is primarily responsible for Christian education? Parents. Parents are. God tells us over and over and over again that it's a generational responsibility to educate children. Amen. Grandparents should be teaching parents, and parents should be teaching children. That's what our responsibility is. No matter how involved in education I may be from a work standpoint or from a ministry standpoint, I've got three people at home that depend on me more than anyone else to learn God, to learn the Bible, to learn who Jesus Christ is and what He desires from us. The parents have the primary responsibility for educating their children. I've only been here for a few weeks, but I've enjoyed so much having literally dozens of parents and families come through my office just to learn about the school. And they're praying about putting their children in the school or asking questions, whatever it may be. And just about every time I've said, look, I wish I could promise you a result. I wish I could tell you the magic formula where if you drop off your kid at 8:30, pick them up at 3:30, you're going to be thrilled with the result. I wish I could do that. That's not how Christian life works, right? I can't force your child to be saved. I can't force your child to take the mind of Christ upon themselves. I can promise a process in the school. I can promise we're going to do all we can to put out truth in front of your children. I can promise that we'll put all we can into them if they'll just accept it. But I can't promise a result. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And I think as parents, anytime we think we can just kind of push off our responsibility of education onto someone else, we're failing as parents. And we've all been guilty of it, by the way. Wonderful Sunday school, wonderful children's church, wonderful ministry here, wonderful church. But that's not who has the primary responsibility for your child. You do. And I do. It's tough being a parent, isn't it? It may be the most terrifying thing I've ever gone through. And I'll say that in the presence of two of my children tonight. It's terrifying. Because you know who does not have all the answers? Me. And you. Right? We don't know how to be parents. Thankfully, God's Word does. God's Word can teach us how we should be better parents and what we should instill in our children's lives. Parents have the primary responsibility of teaching their children, of that Christian education. And I'll say this, this school's here to help. I'm thankful for the opportunity we have to work with some of your children. We can't do it all, but we want to help you as you do it. The parents have the primary role. Ephesians 6:4 says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Right. Parents must teach the students the most important subject that there is. And that's the love of God. Amen. Parents have to teach that. Home could undo everything that Sunday school ever does. Home could undo everything that church ever tries to do. Home could undo everything that a Christian school even tries to do. Home is the most important classroom. Amen. And if any of us are ignoring that opportunity, we're missing it, and we're failing as parents. It is a great joy to have children, isn't it? It's the most amazing conundrum of life, because nothing brings more joy than having children. And nothing brings more anger than having children, right? It is equal parts thrilling and terrifying. Having children is such a great opportunity and such a huge privilege. When you think that life is given by God, think about the fact that you're being trusted with those lives that are in your home. He didn't choose me to be the father of your children. He chose you to be. He didn't choose someone else to be the mother of your children. He chose you to be. I think in this social media, this wasn't even anywhere near what I'm thinking of, but I do want to share this. In this generation of perfect homes on Instagram and perfect homes on Facebook and all that, I think moms especially compare their lives so often thinking, man, I just can't do this. Well, you're right, you can't. The Holy Spirit can, and you have to be used of Him. It's not about comparing yourself to what other people are doing. It's about being faithful to the Lord and being obedient to Him in rearing your own children. The parents have that primary responsibility, and what a huge responsibility it is. That's the first role. The second role is the student. The student. It'd be easy for us to say, all of us could do all we ever want to do, but we know if the student isn't trying, isn't giving that effort, doesn't have a desire to learn, it's going to fall on deaf ears. The teachers can be faithful, the parents and everyone else can be faithful, but if the student's not doing what they're supposed to do, then we're going to fail in Christian education. It's so important for us as parents and as teachers to remember that each student is created for a specific purpose in God's kingdom. Pastor, I hope you don't mind me using you as an example, but I was speaking to Miss Gentry the other day, and I said, you know, we don't know who we're teaching. We don't know who we're talking to. We're speaking specifically of the high school students. We don't know who we're talking to. I said, you know, someone taught Pastor Crawford in high school. He was probably a perfect student. But let's assume just for illustration purposes that he wasn't. Those teachers didn't know he was going to pastor a great church. They didn't know he was going to lead a great family. They didn't know. They were just being faithful in what they were given to do, right? We have no idea who's going to someday take each of our places. We have no idea if the next great preacher, the next great pastor is in our classroom or in our home. What a huge responsibility. The student is going to be given the truth if we're doing what we're supposed to do, but the student must desire that truth. When does education, not Christian education, when does education begin in someone's life? At birth, right? At birth. From that moment, you start learning. We don't remember that, but you start learning. You start learning, oh, if I make this noise, I'll get fed. Some of us have not forgotten that. If we still make certain noises, we still get fed, right? When, if birth is when education begins, when does Christian education begin? It begins at rebirth, doesn't it? It begins at salvation. We could call ourselves Christian educators all of our lives, but if someone doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing we can do. That's where Christian education begins. It begins at salvation. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Parents, do you want your children to have wisdom? You want your young people, your teenagers to have wisdom? Yes. Because you can't be there with them all the time as much as you'd like to be, right? How do we have wisdom? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts. Fear the Lord. He'll do the rest. If you will, real quickly, turn just a few pages over to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Again, we're talking about the student's responsibility in Christian education. The student's responsibility. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 7. Two of my favorite verses in the Bible. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You want your children to prosper? Teachers, you want your students to prosper? Of course you do. Verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Right. Observe to do. Observe to do. What's the student's responsibility? It's not just to hear it, it's to put it into action. What's the Christian's responsibility in a church service? Not just to hear it, but to put it into action, right? We have to do something with what we learn. Christian education starts by hearing and learning, and it's carried out as we do it. Hearing, it's not enough. We have to do it. We all want our children to be successful, but so often, we as parents, even as well-intending, godly parents, we have the wrong idea of what success is.
Right.
If we all had to be completely honest before the Lord and write down what we want for our kids, too many of us would have a dollar amount more than we'd have spiritual advancement, wouldn't we? We'd think about a certain position or a certain title or a certain opportunity because that's what we think of with success, even though we're Christian people. We think of success just like the world does if we're not careful. What does the Bible say about success? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, meditation in Scripture, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Boil it down to one word. What is it? Obedience. What is success? It's obedience to the Lord. Brother Leper, you're saying if my kid is broke, but they're being obedient to God, that it's okay? Yes. And doesn't that take so much pressure off of them and off of you?
Amen.
Just be obedient. Let God surprise you. Let Him do what only He can do in the life of your child. The student must be obedient to what they learn. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." It's also the student's responsibility to apply themselves. I'm turning toward the high school as I say this, Pastor. Apply yourselves. What a huge sacrifice some of your parents are making to put you in this school. What a huge sacrifice. And what are some of you doing with it? Let me confess to you. What a huge sacrifice my parents made to put me in a good school. What did I do with it? Frankly, I wasted it. I was a decent student without trying, so I didn't try. You know when it caught up to me? When I got to college, and I actually had to try, and I didn't know how to try. I failed my first freshman class, History of Civilization. What an embarrassment. I was an A and B student, A for the most part student. I thought I was going to coast all the way to the top. Couldn't have been more wrong. What a huge sacrifice my parents made to give me that opportunity. Didn't make the most of it. Only by God's grace I'm serving Him today. What an opportunity. It's the student's responsibility to apply themselves. The Bible says, "As to the Lord and not unto men." Again, parents and teachers, how much would we love for our children, our students, to do everything they do just for the Lord? Because if they did, we wouldn't have to worry about it, right? How much would our students and our children love for us to do things for the Lord and not let our own selfish desires get in the way? It's a convicting thought. As to the Lord, James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." The Lord desires for each student to have wisdom. And if they don't have wisdom, the Bible says ask God for it. And He'll give it to you. Not just give it to you, but liberally. He'll throw it on you. If you ask for it with the right heart, He'll throw it on you. He wants you to have it. And the final role of the student is, let's not miss this, it would be such a shame for a student to succeed academically or athletically, or maybe both, but not to develop a love for Christ. Man, wouldn't you rather lose every single ball game, no matter how competitive you are, and I am, wouldn't you rather lose every ball game than have students that are apart from Christ? May the students be faithful. Each of us are students. May we all be faithful. So if those are the two primary roles, parents and students, then where does the school fit in? Well, the school's there to support the parents and the students. A teacher is there to support parents and students. It's not the teacher's primary responsibility to have subject matter. Their primary goal is influence. Someone, parent, besides you is going to influence your child. Not just in a classroom, but on a ball field and in the neighborhood. Someone is going to influence your child besides you. The great thing is you get to choose that for a little while in their life. Not forever, but for a little while you get to choose that influence. That's why our teachers here at this school are so important. They're great with their subject matter, but more than that, they love the Lord. They're genuine Christian people. And they're living out their lives in a genuinely Christian way. And what an opportunity some of your children have to see them on a day-to-day basis. Influence, when I say influence is the primary goal, let me try to prove that to you real quickly, okay? Who in here had a favorite teacher when you were in school? Would you raise your hand? I would be willing to guess, anyone in here not like any of your teachers? That happens sometimes, sure, it's fun. I would be willing to guess that they were your favorite teacher, not because they were some whiz at science or so good at grammar, but because they cared about you. They invested in you. They influenced your life. If I said the name Jamie Mock or Paulette Dieringer or Garth Hutchison, most of you don't know those names. A couple in this crowd might. It wasn't because they were so good at their subject. I have no doubt they pray for me every day. And now, they pray for my kids. And I know it. What a blessing. What a privilege. Influence. People are going to influence your kids' lives, for the good or for bad. Do all you can to support those teachers, by the way. Don't tear down the authorities that are in your children's lives. God's put them there for a reason. Teachers are not perfect people. May I say selfishly, school administrators are not perfect people. They're going to make mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes. When you disagree with us, tell us privately, respectfully. Don't do it in front of your kids. You're going to do permanent damage when you tear down authority in your kids' lives. It's so dangerous. Do not ever let your kids hear you talk bad about the pastor or about this church. It's an authority figure that God's placed in your kids' lives. And when you tear them down in front of your kids, you're tearing down all authority, including yourself, in your own kids' lives. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. Those are the individual roles. Quickly, secondly, we see the institution's responsibilities. Similarly, we see two different institutions. Just like we have parents and students and teachers, we see two institutions that God commands to instruct children or to instruct in general. Neither of them are a school. It's the church and it's the home. I need to move quickly, but 1 Timothy 3:15 says, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. If your children are in the right church or the right kind of church, they're going to receive a foundation of truth. If your children are in this church, they will absolutely receive a foundation of truth. I'm so thankful as a new member of this church that I don't have to doubt what's going to be preached from this pulpit. That's a blessing. Not everyone can say that. Truth will be preached. We can't guarantee that our children will hear it, will listen to it, apply it to their lives, but truth will come. That's what the church is, the pillar and ground of the truth. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. It's the responsibility of the church to teach, and it's the responsibility of all of us as Christians to grow, to hear, to apply it to our lives, and to grow as Christians. That's our responsibility. Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. The pastor's responsibility, the preacher's responsibility is to feed the flock. Tell the truth. Give the gospel. And as the people of the church, the flock, it's our job just to take it and consume it, devour it, long for it, and then apply it to our lives. The church is one institution God's commanded to instruct. The second one is the home. and it correlates with what we said about parents. I'm going to very quickly read you just a few verses. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Does that mean no child will ever depart from the truth you teach them? No. It's a principle in Scripture. That doesn't mean it's 100% all the time. It's a promise. But it does mean that as we're faithful in teaching our children the right things, God will be faithful to bless those things. One of my greatest fears as a parent is that my kids will someday turn away from faith. I lose sleep about that. I'm sure a lot of you do as well. But I have to be faithful in training up these children in the way they should go and trust the Lord at His Word. Genesis 18:19, for I know Him. What a great testimony. For I know Him that He will command His children and His household after Him. What a great, great testimony. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which He hath spoken of him. They said, I know Him. He's going to do the right thing in His family. His home is the right kind of place. It's the right kind of training ground for God's work. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What's it saying? All the time. All the time God's word is going to be taught in my house. All the time I'm going to be faithful as a parent. All the time. No matter what we're doing, truth will be spoken. My children will have to hear it. They don't have a choice. They have to hear it. 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. One of the coolest things to me is when you see generation after generation after generation stay faithful. I have that with my grandparents, my parents. What a blessing. Some of you in this place have a special family where you've been faithful to the Lord for generations. That doesn't happen by accident. It takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of hard work. In our Sunday school class this morning, we talked a little bit about in our home what we should have. And part of making a house a Christian home is taking the wrong things out of it. But that's only half of it, because we also have to pour the right things into it. Amen. Some of us as parents do a great job of removing media and removing things that kids shouldn't be seeing. But we're not replacing it with truth. We're not replacing it with God's Word. We're not doing enough to teach them right. We teach them wrong, but we don't teach them right. It's a dangerous thing. So what is, with these two institutions, what's the school's responsibility? Well, just as it was with individuals, it's to supplement. The school's responsibility is to be here to help your child develop spiritually, academically, physically. We're here to help. But we can't take on the full role. Very quickly, in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, the public school system took out God's Word, took out prayer, took out the Ten Commandments. And none of us now should be surprised at what our nation looked like. None of us now should be surprised at what some of our school systems look like. Prior to that point, you'd have a hard time knowing the difference between our curriculum here at this school and a public school curriculum. But things have changed. And our world has followed that way. Our country has followed that way. The Christian school today, the responsibility of the Christian school, is to have the right people in it to influence your children for the Lord. That's what we're here for. Their testimony is the most important thing. We should only support what is being taught at home and at church. That's what we're here for. The best opportunity for your child to get truth is if school, church, and home all agree. There's unity. There's not feuding and battling between them all. Lastly, and very quickly, what is the third point? The intended result. It's not a guarantee. It's not a promise. But what is the intended result? The intended goal of Christian education is simple. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ in salvation. The Bible says, in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ. He's it. That's the whole point of Christian education. Again, there's no guarantee for it because the student has to make their own decision. But Christ will be presented to them if we're doing all we should do as educators, preachers, teachers, parents. Amen. We're all educators. Christ is the goal. Christ is the result. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? What's the point of all this tonight? Well, maybe the Lord will speak to your heart about what you should do in your home. Maybe the Lord will say to you, there's more you could do to train your children the right way. Maybe you just want to pray for one of your teachers that impacts your children's lives. What a great role that is. Pastor said this morning they're not taken care of nearly well enough. We're doing all we can for them, but he could not be more right. They're worth 10 times what they're making, every one of them, because they love your kids. They pour their lives into your kids for the Lord's sake. Maybe you would just take the time tonight to pray for one of these students, young child, teenager. It's tough being a kid today. We make fun of them a lot, but it's tough to be a teenager today, being bombarded by the world and by the devil. Take the time to pray for one of them tonight and do all you can to be involved in someone's Christian education. Help them develop the mind of Christ and do all you can to be faithful. Let's stand together. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be faithful in all that you've given us to do. You're so good to us, Lord, and we thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name.
Well, amen. That's really it. You can be saved and know you're on your way to heaven. Your wife can know she's saved on her way to heaven. Kids could even be saved and you still not have a Christian home. Christian home, I love that. It's not just about what you take out, it's what you put in. And let us all be reminded of that tonight. And I love that the statement that it is really more about influence. It really is. I'm not saying anybody can educate. I'm not saying that. But a lot of us could do it. But I want the right influence on my kids. I want to be influenced by the right people. I'm thankful I went to public school. I'm thankful in a small town, Bowie, Texas, just north of here. I'm thankful for the teachers that I had who influenced me. But most of my teachers were Christians in that small town. Most of them were. Most of them were Baptists. And it was a good thing, and so grateful for the education I received and the influences that were in my life. And I'm thankful for the influence my boys have had here at this church and also in our school. What a blessing. Well, let's have an invitation. Hymn 118, I Need Thee Every Hour.